Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
I like to call this little segment Wendy's Hypochondriac Corner. And today we are joined by Dr. Thomas Moran, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, Dr. Moran.
Good morning. How are you today, Wendy?
I'm actually feeling great today. I have talked to a lot of people who have been traveling recently, and lo and behold, a lot of people I know have COVID. It's back a little bit. Uptick this summer?
Yeah. COVID has been on the rise over the summer. There's been many illnesses that have been hitting everybody, especially with the summer travel and everybody trying to get in there. Last vacations, there's been numerous exposures that have been happening.
Now, I talked to a listener. I filled in for Lisa Dent, and this is the third time this listener had COVID, but she said it was much more mild this time. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, because of vaccinations and that we've had infections also, just like with the flu, there are times where your secondary or third infections that you will get will be much milder than before. A lot of people describe them as almost having a bad cold. There are still individuals that are at risk, those older population and some of the younger or immunocompromised patients that can have more serious illnesses and present to the hospital with. But majority of the population, when they're getting it a second time or a third time, are really having much milder disease.
And do you recommend getting a COVID vaccine? If so, when do we get it?
You know, vaccinations are, the way you think about it, it's you wear your seatbelt when you get in a car because there's always a possibility you might get in an accident. Not that you're going to cause one, but you might get hit by somebody. And think of vaccines the same way. It is a protection against the possibility of coming in contact with a virus. Majority of the respiratory viruses that we get, flu and COVID, are in the fall months, and we usually get a booster in that time period, and you think of it's fall, I'm going to get my flu vaccination and get the COVID vaccination at the same time. It's an extra layer of protection to limit your chances of getting really a serious illness with it and hospitalized.
I get them every year and I shoot for October. Is that a good time to get it going?
Yeah, that's a good time.
Okay. And free COVID vaccines are going to be harder to find come this October, aren't they?
Yeah, there was a federal program called the Bridge Access Program that provided about 1.5 million free vaccines. The funding for that program is running down, and there's not going to be the free vaccines. This is really going to affect those clinics that have been providing them overall. They're looking for different funding to help with this from donations and from other sources to help continue with it. A lot of them will end up having a minor like copay to help pay for the vaccination. But just remember that children still have a free program through the federal government, and anyone on Medicare, Medicaid, and or private insurance still have most of this covered to get a vaccination. It's the clinics, the free clinics that are out there that need some additional support to continue to provide vaccinations for that at-risk population.
And, I mean, now we know about COVID. When it first happened, we did not know what to expect. I still have a few tests that I got for free, and they're not free anymore. But the expiration dates on the at-home COVID tests have been extended. So I'm just throwing this out here. Listeners, you can go to FDA.gov and punch in the batch number and see when your test really does expire. What about monkeypox? Listen, I'm not trying to scare people, but I do know that there have been outbreaks. Is this something we should be concerned with?
So monkeypox is now being referred to as Mpox. It's the new name for it. It's just the way that they're going through naming these viruses. This virus was really discovered in the 1950s. Coming out of monkeys in the Congo and Africa. There was some outbreak of those individuals, humans that were either in contact with the monkeys or individuals that were using bushmeat or wild meat that they had an infected animal, and it was a animal-to-human transmission that was happening. In 2022, we had an outbreak that kind of came out of Africa and did spread. And there was also one back in 2003. The 2003 outbreak was really more from the exotic pet exchange. There were prairie dogs that were coming over from Africa that were being sold in the States. And we actually had some cases in the Chicago area of individuals that came in contact with these animals that were infected and ended up having monkeypox.
Huh.
Monkeypox is a virus that's very kind of same family as smallpox. The symptoms are just like regular viral infections where you get, you know, fever, malaise, body aches and pains that you end up getting. But then you also end up getting a pustular rash, usually at the site where the contact came in. In 2022, it was confirmed that monkeypox or mpox was spread more from close intimate contact, and there was a population in the homosexual population and people that were having sex with multiple partners that had a higher incidence of spreading the disease. But just like any other virus infection, if you have a family member that has had it and you come in close personal contact with that family member from secretions at home or caring for them, you can also get the disease. The thing that's different now in this current outbreak that's occurring in Africa than back a couple years ago is there's more children coming down with the mpox this time period than it was in the past. And there are vaccinations that we could give and some treatments to help, but a lot of the individuals that are being affected for this in Africa are really in the poverty areas. And we need to look at it as, why does the World Health Organization make a global health emergency? It's really meant to mobilize resources, make sure that other countries can help and support and resource those areas that are having outbreaks to limit the spread of this from coming over. But like with any viral infection, and there's a chance that it can break out and cross borders. This one's a little bit different because you got to have very close personal contact to end up spreading the disease. But it's always kind of out there as a worry. And one of the things you can always do is it's really understanding good hand hygiene, contact with individuals that are sick across the board for any virus that you look at with this.
Well, thank you for clearing that up. That makes me feel a little more at ease during Wendy's hypochondriac corner. I saw something in the news, Dr. Moran, and now that I'm 21 and can actually legally have a drink, I read that people over the age of 60 who drink alcohol regularly are at an increased risk of early death, particularly from cancer or issues related to the heart and blood vessels. This is not good news for some of us who like to go home and have a beer or two after work.
Well, I mean, if you look at this, it was a pretty big study, 135,000 people that were over 60, and they defined regular drinking as three drinks a day for a male and 1.5 drinks a day for a female. Occasional drinkers were more listed along the lines of two or less drinks in a week. So if you're thinking of the volume of alcohol that you're drinking, those that are drinking daily, every single day, three or more drinks have shown an increased risk of the risk for early death. So they have about a 33% increased risk of early death overall, a 39% increase of dying from cancer, and a 21% increase of dying from problems of the heart or blood vessels in general. So you think about this, as we get older, there are other diseases that we are controlling and moderating as we go. If you throw alcohol into that mix in a more excessive amount, you have more chances of affecting those diseases, which can lead to you having a earlier risk of dying.
All right,
so
that makes sense.
So the way you got to think about some of these studies when you go through it is they're tying these associations together. There's also found that if you have wine with dinner and you have a glass of wine, that it's a lower risk, you know, overall than drinking other type of alcohol. But the key points that you have to take away from studies like this is it's moderation. It's good, healthy diet. Exercise regularly, enjoy yourself in life. I mean, but not to the excess of what it is. If you can eliminate or limit the amount of alcohol you have, the better off you're going to be overall. You just think of anything. An excess of one thing is always detrimental overall to your overall health, body, as we go forward.
Well, thank you so much. This has been very informative, and maybe I'll be finished being a hypochondriac. I doubt it. I really appreciate your time this morning, Dr. Thomas Moran, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Thank you so much, and stay healthy.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You as well.